I sound kind of deranged. I sound kind of disorderly. In fact, I'd be taken away in handcuffs. I know I would be, because I'm scaring my guest, Don Severson.
You look just fine to me,
Mitch. He's got this look of alarm on his face. I go on these tangents. No windows in here. That's what it is, Don. They give John and Chandra before John. They get their window is there. They want to see who's coming, is what's going on. They want to see if there are police coming. But I would be much calmer, I can guarantee you that, than the professor was. I'd say, Officer, hi. You know what? I really appreciate coming to my house to make sure that I was safe. Thank goodness you're here. Yeah, I'd handle it much differently. Because I've been arrested, you know, for ticket scalping when I was 18, and it was ugly. Now, we're getting to the schools. We talked off air to a gentleman who's one of the union negotiators for one of the area school districts, a very large one. He said, well, what happens when there's an impasse, which we know there will be, between the union and the school board, is that they'd have a mediator come in. It's a state mediator comes in. And then the state mediator apparently then decides whether to go to arbitration or whether it should be sent to arbitration. So then the arbitrator would come in and have to decide, okay, should the union get what it wants here based on similar school district size, student population, wealth, and the rest, right, Don?
I would think so.
Don Severson, our guest, who's a watchdog of the schools. Your organization is a nonprofit one.
Correct.
Called?
Active Citizens for Education.
And you are one, an Active Citizen for Education. A couple of things here. One, we have the QEO and this whole thing about the power and the unions and the contract talks, which will be very theatrical and important. The other is, for instance, the Madison schools, they lost a lot of money because the state, when they were doing that 1 o'clock in the morning deal to help Milwaukee with the school aid formula, because I think some of the Democrats were trying to get some of the suburban Republican districts, they forgot they were also getting Madison. And it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and the people that were involved in that don't want to talk too much about it. But first of all, the impact of that and what it means, Don.
Well, regardless of whether they were thinking or not, we're still going to have a problem. But the impact is that...
What is the issue again? The cut is bigger than what they thought in terms of state money?
Well, the district was thinking right. It would be about 10%, and it's ended up about 15%. Well, the 10% was going to be a problem anyway.
Yeah.
Where it got to 15% was that the one-time income that the district received a year ago from the residuals of TIF districts,
tax incremental financing yeah.
in the city, they included that in their spending budget.
One-year money.
Well, at some suggestions and urging, they didn't ask the questions, what is the impact of this in the future?
What's going to happen in 2 years? What's going to happen in 5 years?
How does this relate to revenue caps? How does it relate to state aids and all those kinds? They didn't ask those questions.
We have the money. Let's take it and spend it.
That's
sort of like a payday loan.
We need the money now. That's right.
Kind of like payday. I want my check at 8 a.m. when I come in. I want to wait for the check.
Well, and that's partly what happened now with the decrease in state aids.
Yeah.
Districts knew this spring that the budget deliberations were not going to be favorable, and were not going to give districts the kind of money that they wanted.
They always want more than
get. If we get it, we'll spend it.
Right. And so, what does that mean? I mean, usually when we have the budget crunch, we go to referendum, and I know the Middleton, they went to a big one and didn't make it, right?
Right.
And they'll probably bring it back, 6 months or so forth. But is that what's going to happen then? And we'd have to come to another referendum.
Well, the end result right now is that there's an estimated $12 million
hole. We've had that before, too, haven't we, Don?
Well, yes.
And which is really kind of the way. Didn't somebody once explain to me that's the entire downtown? Everybody wants to go after the administrators, Dayton Street, and I do too. I have fun with their salaries. But you'd eliminate every single one of those people, and you'd save about $12 million. I mean, it'd get you 1 year, right?
Yes.
So it's not so easy, is it?
No, it's not.
So when it comes to finding $12 million, it's hard to do.
Correct.
So, what do you think should be on the table?
Well, I think health care has to be on the table. Health care costs, the exorbitant cost of the preferred provider insurance.
Okay, so right now, for instance, in Madison, and we've talked about this before, just so people at home can see, if the teachers who elect the Physicians Plus plan, mm-hmm. which costs about $2,000 a month, versus the group health HMO plan, which is about $1,000 a month, right? Mm-hmm. Roughly, it's $1,000 a month difference. So district wide, we're talking a lot of money.
About $1 million a month.
So there's your $12 million right there. Now, but that would have to be something that the school board would have to present in the contract talks.
Correct.
Which the union would say no to.
More than likely.
So then they go to arbitration. Arbitrator says, okay, you can't get rid of that. You've already negotiated in the past. Okay, you've won that. You're going to find your cuts elsewhere. So then that means, does it not, that they just lay off newer teachers. Now they'll just lay off teachers without the longevity.
Well, they can't do that this year because, well, unless you break contracts, because the contract agreement with the union is that if layoff notices are not submitted or distributed to staff by, I think, in the first week of May, there's a deadline date.
They didn't do that, did they, Don?
No, they didn't do that.
So, okay.
And the issue for me with that is that they knew in May or in April.
That could be a possibility or could be a danger.
That there was going to be a cut in aides.
But they were probably getting assurances from friendly lawmakers, or so they thought.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be necessary.
That's probably true.
Until the 1 a.m. screw up.
But now they get bit in the behind.
So now you can't do that. Now what do you do?
Well, now you've got to look at finding areas, for example, like Fund 80. Doesn't have an impact on the revenue cap, but it does have an impact on taxes for the citizens. There's a
Explain that. It's a segregated fund.
It's a segregated fund. That's the tax levy is the same for that as it is for revenues under the revenue cap, but there's just no limit to it.
Oh, well, but that might get you something, but not $12 million.
Well, it wouldn't help with the
right. So
the direct
we're still not dealing with the $12 million hole.
But we are impacting taxes.
Taxes, okay. But I'm talking about spending here. You know, services, right? So
right.
If you can't, you got to find the $12 million. You can't lay people off, right?
Nope.
So where's the money come from? If 85% of the operating money is for salaries and benefits of staff. I mean, you're not going to get enough by turning off the heat.
No.
Right?
No.
So what do they do? Borrow it then, right?
Well, either borrow it or raise taxes.
And would you have to go to a vote for that?
No, they can levy the tax.
And they can just do it in the school board.
Sure. Or they can go to a referendum again. You know, they're already getting $13 million more for next year than they have for this year.
Yeah, but under the old rule of Tommy with the cost controls, they could only spend so much, or they'd have to go to referendum.
Correct.
That's still there, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so they have to probably, to get $12 million, they might have to go to a vote, right?
Yeah, but where they were expecting to get $275 per pupil in state aid, and now they're only going to get $200.
Yeah. When does it hit the fan, Don?
Early next month. Beginning next week.
In August?
Yeah, they'll be discussing this next week.
We'll come back for more. We'll take your calls. This could affect your district as well. And what's the way out here? Do we have to just change everything the way we pay for them? This is News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Save Big on Golf is presented each week by Bull.
You're working hard today. You deserve a happy hour that makes you happy. I'm talking about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse Happy Hour. With half-off appetizers like barbecued shrimp and seared ahi tuna. Wine specials by the glass. And live music every Wednesday and Thursday. Happy Hour at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is nightly from 4 to 7. Whether it's the whole office or meeting at someone special, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is the perfect place. There's more sizzling at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse than just the steaks.
Hi, I'm Bob Uecker for Gordy Boucher Lincoln Mercury, and I want you to catch a deal at Boucher.
It's time for the Gordy Boucher Summer Sales Event. Find the difference of a new Lincoln or Mercury vehicle. Lease a 2009 Lincoln MKZ from $339 per month or take advantage of zero financing for 60 months. Available in all-wheel drive with complimentary maintenance. Heard about Cash for Clunkers? Gordy Boucher Madison's your Cash for Clunkers headquarters. With a high cost of gas, check out the 2009 Mercury Mariner SUV. Boucher has them from $18,731 or take advantage of zero financing for 60 months. Dodge. Gets up to 34 miles per gallon in a hybrid. Or take advantage of the lowest prices on a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles. Most including at least a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty and may qualify for financing as low as 3.9 APR. Plus, Boucher's got a great selection of vehicles under $99.95. Imports and domestics, including a 2003 Toyota Matrix, $89.94.
Gordy Boucher, Lincoln Mercury, Madison on Odana Road, or visit them online at BoucherMadison.com.
And remember, Gordy Boucher and Madison is your Cash for Clunkers headquarters.
Hear the news and the newsmakers on Madison in the Morning. Tomorrow morning at 5 on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day? How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are a healthy eater. Oranges for vitamin C, flaxseed and mackerel for omega-3s. But did you know the same foods that are good for your body, i.e. not beef jerky, are also good for your eyes? Yep, research shows proper nutrition can impact the development of cataracts and age-related macular degeneration, two leading causes of blindness. So keep up the healthy munching, my well-fed friend. And for more easy ways to keep keeping your eyes healthy, see your optometrist or visit AOA.org.
We're talking schools and taxes. And Don Severson is here, school watchdog. I guess the rubber's going to hit the road when contract talks come up. And in Madison, for instance, the union says no to an offer, and then they go from to a mediator and then to an arbitrator. Before we go to the calls here, and you have questions, 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. Don, the Madison schools, because of the referendum recently, they get $13 million more next year, right?
Correct.
They're getting this year. So that, will that solve the problem? They just have to solve this year's problem? Or
well, they're going to have to change programs and services. They'll probably have to...
this year. So the problem...
Well, for this year, no, it doesn't. That $13 million doesn't help.
Does not help
year.
Because it won't come this year.
They had $5 million.
So
helped.
They have to just... How do they survive 1 year until that the cavalry comes running in or riding in?
Very good question. They're going to have to cut some extraneous, well, not necessarily extraneous, but non-classroom
stuff,
non-teaching staff.
So could they
areas?
This is bizarre, but could they just say, "Well, you have to go away for a while and come back next year when we have more money"?
No, that's not likely.
Not going to happen.
That's not likely an option.
Because the bottom line is, for the people, the school board can levy a certain amount of tax increase, but not enough to fill the hole.
Correct.
So to do that, you'd have to go to the voters. Right.
Right.
Because they're not going to cut. If you can't deal with layoffs, then they're not going to find $12 million. This board, 5-2, at least in favor of going to the referendum, would be my guess. Agreed?
Likely.
All right. Dave, hi. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Mitch, and good morning, Don. I am calling in because it's my understanding that in addition to all the financial problems that the school district has, the superintendent in Madison and some of the board members are still considering a four-year-old kindergarten. Isn't that absurd at this point with the problems of spending already that we're going to increase the number of teachers needed to do a four-year-old kindergarten?
That's correct. I would agree they should forget it.
How much money are we talking for that, Don?
$5 million.
Did you have four-year-old kindergarten, Dave?
No, I didn't. I was one of those five-year-old kindergarten kids probably kept behind 1 year.
I remember lying on the mat watching Concentration.
Exactly.
At the daycare, eating some bad macaroni and cheese.
There you go.
Well, even right. even with the state grant money to start a 4-year-old kindergarten, you have to agree to sustain that
beyond
the grant.
Oh well, it's really great. It's a great daycare thing if you're a parent, but
yeah, I hope that the public will contact Superintendent Narad and say. Nice try, but let's put that on the shelf for at least the immediate future.
Shouldn't they call their school board member as well? While they're at it,
sure.
Well, exactly. The school board members need to hear that because you know there's probably a push for it from certain segments.
Yeah, I'm okay, Dave. Hey, maybe you can run for that office too. By the way, since I recognize your voice, put that on your list of possible offices to run for.
Yeah, it's on my list, but okay. And Don will have to twist my arm pretty hard.
Well, he's been doing that with a lot of people, and then they run in the other direction. But thanks, Dave. Appreciate that.
All right.
321-1310 outside the Madison area. 877-235-1310. We'll have a full bank of calls here momentarily. We ask you don't do long conversations with John behind the glass because then we can't take the call. But in any event. Don, nobody's going to care until, you know, somebody's faced with having their school closed. That's when the people show up in big numbers, or if they threaten to cut sports or something like that. I mean, in other words, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time, but nobody really cares until we come right into the brass tacks, right?
When somebody's ox is going to get gored.
Right. I mean, you know, there was that one string program, mm-hmm. Like fourth grade strings, and people didn't like it if their kid was in it, right? Or, I mean, that's when somebody gets upset.
That's correct.
But, I mean, until then, nobody really cares.
Well, and until the district gets serious about evaluating and assessing programs and services and making reallocations of funding and so forth, it's not going to happen.
All right, let's go to line two first. John, this is News Talk 1310 WYBA. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I realize this isn't going to help this year, but I'm 59. When I was in school, we didn't have separate sex education teachers, separate classroom teachers. It was handled in a few weeks in the science class. And I don't know how much money that would save throughout the district, but to me that's always been a big waste, actually.
Yeah, you mean just generally specialty teachers that are outside the mainstream K-12 classes where you get it all in one class?
Exactly. And that was handled actually all the way through school when I was there.
My health teacher, we talked about that in our health class, if I recall.
Exactly. And actually, I can remember my
very attractive class. My very attractive young health teacher, by the way, I want to add.
My phi ed teacher wasn't. He was an ex-Marine and tough. But they have sex education in that,
He taught it? Okay.
John, you bring up a...
What did he tell you to do? Just keep it in your pants? Was that his message?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. I had a blonde that taught mine, and we were all about 16 at the time.
John, you bring up a point that all programs, including these specialty kinds, need to be evaluated and assessed as to the results that they're getting, what the cost analysis is, and are there other ways of doing it if it is good, and make some reallocations of funds.
Well, okay, before we go to the other calls, isn't a huge driver of costs the quote-unquote special education money?
Sure.
Which is mandated by the state, right? And you've got more and more kids who are, quote, special needs or at risk and need these programs who may not get the individual attention they need just sitting in row 7 out of 30 kids.
Well, those programs are all special categorical aids, which are outside the revenue cap. And come from state aids in support, but how all of that is interpreted, how all of that is applied, and what the results are obtained from that are a big issue.
But not fully funded, though.
No,
the state, right? So we have to kick in for that. So
that's right.
Still a driver of costs.
But then, you know, there's a bigger picture to all this too, which is very hard to understand, and that is that there's no collaboration and understanding between government entities. You know, the city on one hand sits over here and does all kinds of stuff with zoning ordinances and development rules and regulations and housing policies and all those kinds of things that have an impact on people moving in here and what problems they bring with them.
All right, let's go. Less than a minute to go. Where are we going to go next? Line one, Tom. Hi, this is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Tom.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Don, first of all, thanks for all your efforts in this regard to try to hold down taxes for Madison taxpayers.
Thank you.
Quick question. Go ahead.
My only question. What does this Madison school system educate illegal immigrants, and if so, under what legal authority?
Hold the answer, Don. We'll come back, take a break, come back and answer that, and then we'll go to John's question. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Hi, everyone. This is Angie from Ader's Do It Best Hardware in Plain and Blanchardville. Buzz on the street is that this is going to be the year of the garden. That means we are increasing our orders on all kinds of bedding plants, herbs, and vegetables. My staff and I would be happy to help you, whether this will be your first garden or your thumb has been green for years. So for helpful, friendly advice on everything from lawn fertilizer to the best seed potatoes, stop by Ader's Do It Best, your one-stop shop for your lawn and garden needs and your great big store with small-town smiles.
Now you can easily bring back the natural beauty of your exterior wood surfaces with SuperDeck brand products' new wood restoration line. This simple-to-understand, color-coded system will walk you through using the right product for the right project. Wood Cleaner will clean those tough stains and restore badly grayed weathered wood to its natural appearance. All SuperDeck products are 100% biodegradable, fast-acting, and extremely easy to use. They're available at your local Do It Best Hardware.
Ader's Do It Best Hardware, two locations in Blanchardville and in Plain.
It's remodeling season again, but you're not sure where to begin or who to trust with your project. Easy. Hire the most reliable and trustworthy home improvement experts in the area, Classy Building, Flooring, and Design. For over 30 years, the Classy team has been making the building and remodeling process as seamless as possible. Whether you're building a new luxury home, remodeling, or desire hardwood flooring, see why the name says it all. Classy Building, Flooring, and Design. That's Classy with a K. 848-5776 or go to classybuilding.com.
This is Jim French. Join me Saturday night at 11 for Imagination Theater on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
It's severe weather season. Here's something to ponder. Where's your portable radio at? Operation Stormwatch on News Talk 1310 WIBA. From the Ballweg.com News Center, this is continuing team coverage on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Defending domestic partner benefits and concerns in Dodgeville. Good morning. It's 10:30 and we have partly cloudy skies at 74. I'm Chandra Lynn. Our top story, Governor Jim Doyle is joining other regional politicians in Chicago today to discuss plans for a Midwest rail corridor. Earlier this year, Governor Doyle, seven other Midwestern governors, and Chicago Mayor Richard Daley co-signed a bipartisan letter to U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. This was in support of a high-speed rail network that links cities around the region. A week from today, same-sex partners can start signing up under the state's domestic partner registry. However, it does face a challenge as Wisconsin Family Action filed suit late last week. But Governor Doyle sounds confident that that challenge will not stand up.
Well, the lawyers have all assured me that this, this is not a marriage, but I think most people agree that it's a statement of some basic rights that most people in Wisconsin think should be protected.
Wisconsin Family Action says the registry violates a constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage in Wisconsin. In May, a Richland County Circuit Court judge ruled that Dodgeville over-assessed Land's End's corporate headquarters. Now the tax error will likely translate to major cuts in the city's government. The senior Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee says he's voting against Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. In announcing his decision, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions says he doesn't think Sotomayor will be able to resist the pull of judicial activism once she joins the high court. The judicial committee is scheduled to vote on the nomination tomorrow. And high-level talks between China and the U.S. have begun in Washington. In his opening remarks, President Obama noted that while the two countries won't agree on every issue, their relationship will help shape the history of the 21st century. Your 27 storm track forecast, partly sunny with just a few showers and storms. Scattered storms developing late, and that's more towards the west. High 81 and a low 62. Tuesday, partly sunny, a few showers and storms southeast, and a high of 81. Right now, we have some sun at 74. From the Ballweg.com News Center, I'm Chandra Lynn.
I present to you three
of the fiercest subjects ever assembled in the Cage of Doom. First, the brain-wrenching behemoth Algebra 2, weighing in at a mind-boggling 800 pounds. Foreign languages! The multilingual international sensation capable of tossing you clear across the Atlantic. And finally, biology. More ferocious than formaldehyde, she'll dissect you one chromosome at a time. Who among you will step up to their challenge?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Me too.
I'm in.
Sign me up.
Take on the tough classes now. You need them to prepare for college. Find out which classes you need at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
News, traffic, weather, opinion.
Listen to this.
24 hours a day.
This is the real deal.
7 days a week. When you need to know.
News Talk 1310 WIBA. WIBA.com.
Get your daily rush weekday mornings after 11 on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
All right, we're doing one more segment here with Don Severson, who's the school board watchdog. They love it when you show up, don't they, Don, the school board members? You're sitting there with all your little notebooks and clipboards. They see you coming. Do you get along with most of the school board members?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
There's a couple of them won't have much to do with me, but...
Right. Well, I mean,
They're decent.
It's about 5-2 right now in terms of, you know, hard union votes versus two semi-independent votes, right? And that's in the Madison School Board.
Right.
We don't have a situation where, I've said this before, I told my buddy John Matthews, the union guy, he'll say, my job is to raise taxes. His job is to get his members the best deal he can get. So I always say, don't blame the union for winning, blame the school board for losing. And that's the way it is, isn't it?
Right.
I know there have been people who have thought the union should, you know, unilaterally disarm in order to benefit the good of the district, but, you know, it's not the way it is in real life, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
He's done an excellent job of what he's supposed to do.
He's paid to do what he does.
That's right.
You don't blame him for winning.
That's right.
And he wins even when he doesn't have the cards. When they took away the binding arm, he'd still win.
That's right.
Because the board would cave. Let's go to Tom. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Tom.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Oh, the illegal immigrants. Yes, Don. You wanted to answer that question?
Yes. Thanks for the question. The Constitution, both federal and state, requires that all children of eligible age, kindergarten through 12th grade, must be offered a public education.
Yeah, whoever shows up.
Yep.
Yeah, the schools aren't in there doing law enforcement, Tom.
They're what?
They don't do law enforcement. They don't screen people based on whether they're legal or not.
All right, but I guess I'm just concerned about the burgeoning budgets due to the various effects of illegal immigration, and I'm just wondering if we have a legal obligation to educate one who's here illegally.
We do, right?
Yes, unfortunately,
yeah,
we do.
They show up, they get education.
If they show up, we have to educate.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah.
Do they pay anything into the system by way of taxes to help defray expenses?
Only if, well, whether they
maybe,
own property.
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
Could be,
if they own property, obviously. If they rent, taxes are a part of the rent.
That's indirect.
Right. Yeah, indirect.
Right.
Yeah.
You got it, buddy. Let's go to Rob. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Don.
Hi, Rob.
Always enjoy listening to you. My question is, I'm a young father. My daughter happens to be 4 years old. Thank God they didn't have four-year-old kindergarten for her. I'd rather prefer to pay to have somebody do what I want with my child than put her into school already when we have very little faith. But my main question is, I'm living in Evansville right now, but I'm looking to move back into the town and actually buy a home. My question is, why doesn't Madison School District and the city council, for that matter, make it where people want to move to Madison. All you hear when you open up the paper is how they have deficit, deficit, and deficit. You never hear about changes coming forth to improve the spending or the quality of the spending or where the spending goes. Nobody talks about that. I mean, as a father, why would I want to move into Madison and give them my tax revenue when you have no, you know, feelings that it's going to go to the right place or that it's going to be enough? It just seems that they spend more than they take in. They don't worry about the base expanding.
Well, thanks, Rob. Don, isn't it true that Madison does pretty well in terms of, Memorial, 5 years ago, had more honor students at Memorial than any single high school in the state? I mean, you can get an education in a Madison school, can you not?
Well, yes. I mean, we do a good job of cheerleading and touting that upper 2, 3, 4, 5%.
So, yeah, they do okay, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is in trouble.
Well, and in response to the question, if those kinds of things and values are important to you, Madison's probably not the place to come because it doesn't happen that way. The city and the county and the school district do a great job, if you want to call it that, with policies and procedures and rules and regulations and so forth that attract people who have baggage, who have problems, who have issues, who have other kinds of concerns, that Madison has a reputation of taking those kind of people in and providing opportunities for them. And those are high cost citizens.
So we're a magnet.
We're a magnet.
Because we have programs for you.
That's right.
And we're going to fund them. So come here.
Right.
We're the Statue of Liberty.
Come heck or high water.
Going to embrace you. Now, people are going to listen to that, Don. They're going to think that sounds pretty intolerant, that you sound like you'd be happier in Arrowhead, where everybody's got money and they might be at the country club. And because we have a diverse population, then things aren't so simple. But I know that's not your meaning, because I know you.
No, not, absolutely not. The issue is, if that's our desire, to have the diversity with all those kinds of issues and so forth, what we've been doing is spending the money, taxing the citizens to be able to spend the money to deal with those kinds of issues.
And you're questioning whether the programs are very effective.
That's part of it.
Well, because let's be blatant here. A few years ago, there was a candidate for school board, Melania Alvarez, who was Hispanic, mm-hmm. who first language was Spanish, and she was very hardcore conservative and thought that we should spend a lot less time teaching English, you know, when English was the second language, and was as right-wing as anybody, and she certainly wasn't white. So, I mean, you have people of different races who have different philosophies on these issues. So it's easy to pigeonhole people who are conservative as just sort of being representing the mequons of the world, when in fact there's room for serious debate on how to best reach people of color and people with concentrations of poverty.
That's correct.
Okay, let's go to John. News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Say, Don, last year my daughter suffered a brain injury and she had to have an IEP, and about 3 months into the school year, Madison tried to pull the rug from underneath her and get rid of her aid and stuff, and I yelled, you know, to bloody heaven to, you know, you can't do that to my daughter. You can't leave her out in the cold like that. So, and they put in writing, so they kept the aid, but they didn't want to pay her salary. So I'm afraid this year they're going to try to do the same thing. I have the option to put my daughter in the Monona Grove School District because I live in Cottage Grove, but her mother lives in Madison. And I don't hear of any financial problems with Monona Grove, but as a parent, I'm concerned that with all these budget cuts, my daughter's going to be clearly affected.
Well, she could be. Probably not this year, however, financially, because layoffs cannot occur now, according to union contract. Yes, you do have, obviously, a huge challenge to deal with this, but I applaud your tenacity, yeah, and your effort. And you kind of touch on a situation too, that when you mentioned that you could put her in a different school and so on if you wanted to. The problem is that those who have the means do that.
No, you're absolutely right there. I know a lot of people have pulled their children from Madison.
Right. There's over 2,000 households have done that in this district, either through private parochial schools, homeschooling, or open enrollment.
Or one parent lives in one district and the other parent lives like two blocks away in another district.
Exactly. But
Fitchburg, Verona, ring a bell there?
But, that issue, what it does is kind of creates a hole in the donut. That those with means and want to exercise choices do so. Those who don't have the means but need choices and so on can't move, so we end up with high costs.
In terms of public school choice, and I don't want to get away from the point here specifically, but you can go wherever you want, right, as long as you can get there, or as long as there's room for you, right?
Right.
You just have to find your own way there.
Right.
Okay. John, you have any other questions here?
No, thanks, Don.
Sure. Thank you.
Let's go to Mike. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. My question is, with English as a second language, I understand the state mandates that, and I don't really have a problem with having Spanish kids or illegal immigrants in schools. I think we should educate them rather than run the streets. But I do have a problem with having them speaking Spanish. My grandparents didn't have anyone following around speaking Polish when they came to the country 80 years ago. Why is that necessary now? And I've heard that's as much as one-fifth of the budget. Is that true?
No, it's not that high, but it is about $13 million in this year's budget.
5 years ago, it was what, $3
million? $2 to $3 million.
Mike, the issue there is how long it takes or how long we should spend teaching English and getting somebody to, quote, assimilate into an English-speaking predominant culture. Right now, it's, what, a seven-year process, Don? In other words, the debate is how long it should take, right?
Right. And what the methodology used
is to
get that result.
But isn't that crazy? Isn't 7 years way too long? I know I'm fluent in Spanish. It took me maybe 3 years. I know I can't speak it like a native Spanish speaker, but I can understand someone and learn. Understand why it'd take a kid in America 7 years to learn English.
That's $13 million,
doesn't that fit rather nicely in our $12 million budget gap?
Well, yes, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. Well, again, and I'm not in there in the front lines teaching English for people that have English as a second language, but I mean, how long do you think it should take now?
Well, I don't know. But
Melania Alvarez thought it should take a year, basically, right? I mean, she was pretty intense about it.
I think it should take a lot less, as I do think with reading, for example. If a child can't read at the third grade level by the end of third grade,
not a good sign.
Then they need to, in my opinion, hold them back until they can read. Because that's the basis of everything else. But in talking about English as a second language, that's another program and methodology that needs to be very seriously evaluated in terms of its methodology.
A lot of latitude now. I mean,
and analysis of costs and so forth.
Yeah. The assumption is that we can't do the fast track on it, and there's a debate about that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mike. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike. Mike must have had a question about second language, but we'll sum up here, Don. These are all very important questions, and taxpayers, a lot of people who are in the taxpayer category, they don't care really about the programs because the kids are gone, so they're just paying taxes. So you're starting to see people just voting no on these referenda questions, like in Middleton, because you probably have a pretty significant number of voters who are, you know, retired or no kids for years.
Well, 76% of the...
And all they're thinking about is the tax bill.
Right. 76% of the households in Madison School District don't have kids in school.
Right, so when that happens, the parents of the kids now get all excited and say they don't care about the kids, and, you know, we have these emotional moments. But, I mean, in the end, do you think we need to change the way we fund schools, or do you think we should quit spending so much?
Well, I think it's a two-edged sword both ways.
All right. Well, how about we do that on another show?
Okay.
Don Severson, always great to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the importance of how you look at work. People look at you differently, because I'm experiencing it myself. I can't win. Well, it's outside the box.
These days, we're all looking for new ways to save. Maybe you're spending less.
Gas for the car, utility bills, groceries. Kids' clothes? It's pretty tough out there right now. You watch every dollar, but it could be hard to make ends meet. the Society of St. Vincent de Paul can help. Their thrift store lets you stretch your family budget with clothing, housewares, furniture, toys, books, and more, clean and gently used. You get what your family needs and still have money in your pocket. You tread lightly on the environment when you reduce your new buying and reuse items that are still in great shape. And your purchases provide funds used to help local families in real need. St. Vincent de Paul has 5 Dane County thrift stores in Madison on Odano Road, Willie Street and Park Street, in Stoughton and in Wanakee. Shop St. Vincent de Paul. Help your budget. Help the planet. Help our neighbors in need.
A website without visitors is like a lake with no fish. You can have the best boat, the best rods, the bait, but nothing will bite. If your website doesn't rank high with search engines, you're fishing in an empty lake. Search engine optimization will increase your search rankings, drive more visitors, and make your website more profitable. TrafficLadders.com is the local white hat search engine optimization firm that will perform a free analysis on your site and show you how you can catch more fish. Be found fast with TrafficLadders.com.
Business doesn't have a website? Shame on you. People shop when they want, and that isn't always during business hours. 90% of consumers research online before making a purchase. If you can't be Googled, you won't be found. MyQuickWebsite.com helps with simple to sophisticated websites. After setup, you'll pay less than your monthly cell phone bill, and you'll have a website you can update at any time for free. Do modifications, blogs, customer newsletters, all for no extra fees. Go to MyQuickWebsite.com.
Thanks a lot.
What?
When my company downsized and I got let go, I thought, I'll take a mini vacation, lay around, watch TV for a few weeks. But you said, start looking right away. It's hard to find work.
Well, it can be, especially in this economy.
It wasn't with HelpWantedMadison.com.
Oh, boy.
No sooner do I post my resume, sit down with a bag of cheese puffs, and bingo bango, I have a bunch of interviews for great jobs.
Because you're a very talented guy.
Who's never going to eat cheese puffs and watch TV all day. Thanks, HelpWantedMadison.com.
Long name, amazing results.
Wake up with the news.
Our top story this hour.
And the newsmakers.
Fred Risser, our longtime senator, joins us now.
Madison in the morning. Tomorrow morning after 5 on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Over the hill, past the fiery gates, my dark future sits there and waits. The shame of steroids fills me with dread. Labeled an asterisk, stabbed right through my head.
Mark of the Fraud by Roidhead. Hear more at don'tbeanasterisk.com. Brought to you.
All right, I'd like to know, what is the, on a scale of 1 to 10, the importance of the way you look at work, you know, your dress at work, in terms of getting ahead, or other people judge you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm beginning to think it's very important. Because if you come every day and you kind of look a little drab and, you know, come with a T-shirt or a golf shirt and you just, you know, people kind of look, I don't think they take you seriously. One day, it was last week, I wore this kind of loud, kind of open collar, kind of one of those, not a Hawaiian shirt, one of those sporty polo type shirts that kind of hangs out. It's meant to hang out. You know what I mean? It's one of those flowery blue. Mitch, you look really good today. You know, Mitch, I like that shirt. Wow. I got people saying it here in the news department and then at my mortgage office. They were, hey, yeah. And all I could think of is it just tells me that they don't like the way I look every other day. Otherwise, why would they? Boy, Mitch, I'm surprised. It's like my aunt, you know, and came to my show, and she really was happy about the big show that she saw. But she looked at the band at one point, and the great musicians, piano player, bass player, and drummer. Boy, they are really good. I said, I said, thanks. Thanks, Aunt Sally. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, yeah. Well, how am I supposed to take it, Sally? No, but I mean, people say, boy, and if you're an old person, boy, does he look good? He looks good. Well, that's basically saying he looks old. He's old. You wouldn't, if he's 21, you wouldn't, people don't say, boy, does he look good? No, it's, you're surprised he looks good because he's old. He's not supposed to look good. He's old. Boy, does he look good. Boy, does she look good. Well, that's Latin for they're old. You know, am I right here? It's like code words. Scale of 1 to 10, you know, what importance is dress at work? You know, how other people look at you and whether you're going to get ahead or not. And I'm wondering if the bosses even, you know, the bosses have to notice it, right? So now I'm trying to wear more button-down shirts because, you know, it's easy to wear like a golf shirt. You know, you can stay if you want, Don. This is the light, funny paper comic strip segment of the show. And if you've noticed at work, if it makes a difference in the way other people perceive you, you know, just try one day. Just got to dress up one day. You know, put something really nice on, you know. Nice, really nice, and see what they say. Just see what they say. And I guarantee you, if they say, boy, hey, look at you. That's Latin for you look like a bum every other day, and what's going on? Something now is different. 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. And I'm wondering, if you look good every day and you dress up every day and you always look sharp and good, then they're not going to notice it either. Then if you come in with like a sloppy shirt, they're going to say, hey, what got into you, you know? So it's sort of the way I think you're judged by it in life, by your peers, your bosses. Scale of 1 to 10, what impact does your mode of dress, your general appearance have on what others think of you and whether you will get ahead? I'm just curious what you think. I'm thinking on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably, I don't know, it's probably like an 8. I'm saying an 8. One time I was told, you know, there's a previous job, I don't know, 20 years ago, and I didn't get it. And one of the veteran anchors said, you know, I think it's just because you're kind of sloppy the way you dress. I think that might have figured into it because the GM was Bill Fife, who at one point was Tom Snyder's boss at, like, WNBC in New York. I go, really? He goes, yeah, he'd kind of come in. And I go, oh. You know, so yeah, you can't. If you just sort of look like John Belushi at the end, it doesn't work for you. Scale of 1 to 10. You know, 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. Unless you're just creatively independent and don't need anything. Jerry, hi. How important is it, Jerry? I'm just trying to figure it out. Good morning, Jerry. Hi.
Good morning. Hey, I got a quick comment on your manner of dress for work.
Yes, yes. The impact, the importance of it.
Oh, it's 100% important. I couldn't explain it any more than that. We had a lot of salesmen that worked out of their house. A lot of times it was just over the phone or over the internet.
Yeah.
And if they put their suit on and worked at home, the sales went up. And it's all about your mindset. If you're dressed for success, you have a better chance to succeed.
Otherwise, you'll just be kind of dumpy and frumpy, and you won't be high energy, productive.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, I was anchoring once, and the co-anchor, who was a female, whose name I will not mention, used to spray the perfume on before the news would go on, right? Like a minute before the newscast. And, of course, one time I would choke to death because it was this perfume, and the fumes were killing me, and I had this respiratory virus. And I'm going, I go, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I just feel better by myself. Well, they can't smell it. The viewer can't smell it. But she felt better about herself.
Exactly, yeah. And if you feel better about yourself, you'll do better.
Even though I was choking to death. Yeah. So, but, you know, she didn't care about it the way I felt at that point. But yeah, I know what you're saying, Jerry. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks.
Your self-image apparently will go up. Let's go in a moment. 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. You know, a scale of 1 to 10 we're looking at here. I'm saying it's an 8 in importance. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a 9 my job. If I don't look absolutely crisp and ready to go professional, inevitably, I will draw a comment above my station.
You're a male prostitute, so that's a different category.
Yeah, it is. But I told your call screener, I finally figured out why I got such bad reviews when I wore my pajamas to work.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, now, what kind of line of work are you in, then?
Well, I'm a manager.
Okay, so you're setting the standard for your subordinates, your staff. You have to look good.
Yes, and they do, too.
Okay. Well, okay. A 9. All right, you got to get clothes that'll fit. Back with the email of the day next. It's Outside the Box.
It's Mitch Hank for The Big Show, a Las Vegas-style nightclub act you can only see at the Kennedy Manor Dining Room and Bar across from the Edgewater Hotel. I get to perform live songs as a tribute to Frank Sinatra and bring 13 years of stand-up comedy into one big show. The next show is Saturday night, August 15th. A wonderful dinner is available before the show, and showtime is 8 o'clock. For seats to the August 15th show, call the Big Show line at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. The Big Show is sponsored by the Jalamas Company.
What have you done for your marriage today? While you're thinking, here's what other people had to say.
My husband and my daughter and I went for a walk together.
Well, and it's going to be her birthday next week, so I've been spending time today making arrangements to make that extra special.
I called my wife on the phone and I told her, Sue, I love you. And I meant it.
I flirted with my husband like when we first got married.
I have carried my wife's purse.
What I have done for my marriage today is give my wife a break, take the kids out, have a good time so she can just relax.
I know I didn't fight.
What have I done for my marriage today? Wow. I don't know.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
I read the newspaper to my wife, and it cracked her up.
And what have I done? I'm actually giving my wife the rest of the day off from me. She's going to visit with her girlfriend.
What have you done for your marriage today? Try something new to make yours great. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
All right. Can everybody take their seats and settle down, please? Hey, come on, guys. We got a lot of work to get through today, okay? Now, let's start with some word problems. Okay, let's see. This question is for Jacob. Jacob, let's say you work 25 hours a week after school at the deli, earning $8 an hour. Sally works 30 hours a week at the movie theater, earning Y dollars an hour. And Sean works 40 hours a week at the auto shop, earning X dollars an hour. Then how are you going to drive your mother to her dialysis treatments every day and still find time to finish your science project this week?
Some students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why more than 30% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org.
All right, listen up, class. This next question is for Susan. If you pick 27 apples and you give away 30%, how many apples will you...
Visit boostup.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Mitch at WIA.com. I'll read it on the air. And you win a $10 gift certificate to Emilio's. The fight against bland. Go to Emilio's. Sandwich is mighty tasty. All those delicious subs, homemade bread, the double stackers, the triple stackers, not to mention the salads to die for. Try the cashew chicken. Now, here's one from Lori. I have a friend who serves on the school board in Illinois. They ran into funding issues a few years back. They had a solution to survey the graduates of their school, find out which were their best teachers, doing this after a few years after they graduated, to evaluate the teacher's success in the classroom. Offer the retired teachers, who the graduates told them were great teachers from the survey, part-time jobs of teaching a class they loved to teach for a semester or two, similar to professors in college. The recently retired teachers had already received their retirement packages, so they needed to pay their wage. The savings was huge. They told me they saved $100,000 the first year, and they're saving more. There's an idea. Lori, how about that for thinking outside the box? You